Praise the Lord. Message number 270. The title of the message, Preparation for Godly Marriage, Part 7, The Right Time for Marriage. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 41, and let's read from verse 41 to verse 52. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Hereby I put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephanitha Paniah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored out huge amounts of grains, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Let's pray. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Lord, we thank you for your word that you always send on time to direct our life, to help us, to lead us, to support us, to strengthen us, to provide our needs. Your word will solve our problems and give us solutions, so that our life will be a pleasing to you and we will live the life and life to the full that you ordained for each and every one of us. Oh Lord, I pray that the message that you send today, it will bring a blessing to your church and to your people, and it help those who are unmarried to understand your will, and it will help also the parents, and will help the pastors and the leaders of the churches to understand your ways in preparing people to have families. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this message, we are going to discuss the marriage of Joseph, the son of Jacob, his marriage in Egypt. And we're also going to discuss the marriage of David while he was under the leadership of Saul. We will discuss the matter of marriage in regard to the right time for marriage. We know that Joseph was sold by his brothers. They sold him to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt, and they sold him there to Potiphar. And if you read in the book of Genesis chapter 39 verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. So Joseph was a slave in Egypt. He was working in a house as a servant. But we know also, and we read, that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And we read also in Genesis 39 that the Lord also blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And we also read that Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. And in spite of all this honor that the Lord had bestowed on Joseph, we still know very well that Joseph was a slave, and he was under a master that he is accountable to. Now he is speaking about the proper time for marriage. And at this stage of Joseph's life, although that we read that God was with him, but he still was a slave. The word of God tells us in Genesis 39 verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. But at that time God did not give Joseph a wife. Even Joseph was prospered. He was prospering in that place, in that house. But God did not give him a wife. Why? Because Joseph was not yet ready and he was not yet settled for marriage. Many people nowadays, or in the past, or you know many stories that many, while they were under certain pressure and restraint, they are under trial. In spite of all that, they will go forward and bond themselves with marriage while they are still slave, while they are still bound with many restrictions of work pressure, financial constraints, while they were under debt, parents' responsibility, or there is unstable political situation, wars and fear of wars, or while there is hectic natural economic condition, they go forward and they got married and they put themselves and their marriage into troubles. At that stage of Joseph, while he was in the house of his master, Joseph was young and he was also handsome. He was also under temptation, and he was even threatened by his master's wife. You know, in verse 7 to verse 12 from Genesis 39, we can read the following. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, everything he owes, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. So Joseph also was under pressure of temptation. He was a young man, he was handsome, and there's a woman took notice of him. She was trying to tempt him, but he did not fall into sin. Why Joseph was not falling into sin? Because Joseph, his mind clear about two things in regard to this kind of temptation. First, sex only for married people. He is unmarried, he cannot do such thing. His mind very clear, because he is not yet married. That is a rule. The second rule, no marriage unless you are well stable and settled. You know, many people, they go for marriage early because the temptation that they are driven by. They will say because of temptation, because of sin, because of lust, they fall into marriage. They will have children without marriage. They will fall in lust and extramarital relationship, and ultimately they go into marriage, but not in the proper time, not in the perfect time of marriage. And as we understand that marriage would become ultimately the scapegoat of those people who marry early and not in God's perfect time because of temptation and lust. They may marry in the wrong timing, and with that marriage they will get the wrong partner, and they go for marriage is just because of temptation or sin, or just because they want to escape the temptation. Young people, and they should have self-control, and they should put in their mind two facts, two rules: sex only for married people, and second rule, no marriage unless well stable and settled. You know, many people, they say that we want to get settled, so we want to marry. Marriage will not bring settlement. Marriage is a stressful condition. Family is a crisis, and you need to be settled before you get married. Not that you will marry so that you will settle. First settle. When you are settled, then marriage will follow after. Now we want to speak something important here about Joseph's life in Potiphar's house. Joseph in Potiphar's house was promoted. He was in charge of everything, but yet he was still servant. And yet he was not yet settled. Yet he is not yet in a stable condition or position for marriage. Many people, they will go for marriage in that period of time. It is a false safe period. I call it a false time for marriage. You know, some other person other than Joseph might be thinking and tempted to get married at that time because he has the favor of his boss, he is prosperous. Everything he puts his hand is prosper. Resources are there. But yet, we know very well why that was not the right time for him to get married, because settlement was not there. Settlement, as we said, is first before marriage. If there is no settlement, there is no platform for marriage. If you will read further in Genesis chapter 39 about Joseph's life in that house, in verse 11 onward to verse 20, this is a famous story, and I believe that all of you know it, that one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servant. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But Joseph was there in prison. Now, we understand now why God did not give him wife or allow him to think about marriage while he was in that house, because ultimately he will end up in jail, in a prison. That situation was not a settlement for Joseph. It was not a good platform that he can marry. And he was wise, he was self-controlled, and he understood very well that it is not the time for him to get settled. Although all his brothers, most of them, they had families and settled and have children, but that was not yet the time for him to have wife and has family. Now, we want to say this: those who marry in wrong timing, earlier than what God had ordained, when they are not yet settled or stable, their marriages and families will go into turmoil. That's why you find many who are married in wrong timing, their marriages and families are suffering. Joseph, if he would marry while he was in Potiphar's house, and later on would he be put in jail, then his marriage and family will suffer much. And what will be happening to his wife, and what will be happening to his children? Therefore, there's a perfect time and stable condition for you to get married, and you need to wait till that period of time, period of settlement, and then things will go well with you. King David, another story, in speaking about the right time or perfect time for marriage. King David married while he was not yet settled and stable. He married while he was under the leadership of Saul. We know very well what Saul did with David. he was tracking him down to kill him. At that period, where Saul was jealous of him and he wanted to kill him, he wanted to finish his life, at that period, David get married. And we know that he married the daughter of Saul, and that marriage was a failure. And let's read, let us go through the scripture and we'll find out what happened to King David when he married not in a proper time for marriage. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. We will read from verse 17 onward to verse 30. Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord." For Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistine do that." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my family or my clan in Israel, that I should become the king's son-in-law?" So when the time came for Merab, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Mehola. Now see here how he was killing man, Saul, with David. God did not allow this. Let's read verse 20 onward to verse 30. Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, "Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law." Then Saul ordered his attendants speak to David privately and say, "Look, the king likes you, and his attendants all love you. Now become his son-in-law." They repeated these words to David. But David said, "Do you think it is a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I am only a poor man and little known." He knows that it is a trap. It is not the perfect timing. Verse 24, when Saul's servant told him what David has said, Saul replied, "Say to David, the king wants no other prize for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskin to take revenge on his enemies." Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. So it is not that he wanted to give him the gear, but he wanted to finish his life. Verse 26. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him and went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskin. You see how he's very eager to go and do it, because he wanted to be the king's son-in-law, but he was not aware that Saul was tracking him to kill him to finish his life. Like when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, there was the devil also after him. That was not the perfect time. Even now, David was attacked by devil. He needed to be more careful. Then Saul gave him his daughter Michal in marriage. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. The Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, and as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known. See here, David was successful, like Joseph was successful, but Joseph did not go into marriage because that was not the right time. David here was not much aware and was troubled with that marriage. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 44. We know that Saul was striking David, and finally David ran away from his wife and from his house and from Judah to escape the threat of Saul. Now here's the point: when you marry in non-suitable time, what will happen to the wife? What will happen to the children? David at that time did not have children. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 44. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Galim. So his first marriage was broken. So David's first marriage failed, and that is the most likely reason that made David tempted to go into the second marriage and later on multiple marriage. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 42, we can read the following: Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her five female servants, went with David's messenger and became his wife. So that is another wife. Verse 43, David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. So after he separated from Michal, Michal was given to another man. David married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and after that he married the second woman, Abigail. So when David's first marriage failed, he was tempted to go into another marriage, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and one sin brought him into another sin and further marriages. You know, David also was more liable to go into this second marriage and rush into that sin, because that's adultery, and later into multiple marriages, because we can read in 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 1, we can read the following: Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him at his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. So here, after the death of Samuel, David was away from Michal, or Michal was given to another man, not yet clear. But when Samuel died, that discipline of Samuel on David and the leadership of Samuel on David, when it is moved away by the death of Samuel, David was more tempted to forget his first marriage and go forward into the second wife and then multiple marriages. You know, we know the scripture teaches that David settled and was anointed officially as king over Judah in Hebron while he was 30 years of age. If he would wait until that time, the Saul would be dead, and no influence of Saul on him, that would be the perfect time and the right time for David to get married, because that the time for him, he just settled. Before that, there was no settlement for David. Marrying in non-God perfect time, that will bring troubles to the marriage and the family will end up with many sinful outcomes. Marrying in non-God-perfect time will end up in divorce, separation, failure to meet the children's physical and spiritual needs. It may end up with second marriage and multiple marriages. These all are sin and contribute to the raising up of ungodly children. Marriage should take place in a well-settled circumstances where the man and the woman are well prepared and mature and are settled well. Only in such situation marriages are successful and marriages possible. Paul say about that in link to the perfect time of marriage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 25 to verse 28. Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Because of the crisis, because of a problem, don't get married. Now we explain it. When you marry in a crisis, your marriage will end up with failure. When you are not stable, you will end up with failure. When you are settled, there will be success. Verse 27, are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What he mean, Paul, in verse 28 when he say, but those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What he means is that if they will marry in wrong timing, where tribulation is ordained for them, then that same trials and tribulation and crisis will affect their marriage, and that will make their marriage end up with separation, divorce, second marriage, multiple marriages, and failure to raise up godly children. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 28, when he said, but if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. What he means is that marriage is not sin, but to end up with divorce, to end up with separation, to end up with failure to meet the children's physical and spiritual needs, to end up with second marriage and multiple marriages, these all are sin and contribute to the raising up of ungodly children. If we now take Joseph, the son of Jacob, and comparing him to David, Joseph in the age of 30, in the same age that David became a king, at the age of 30, Joseph was taken out of jail and he was appointed and he was put in charge over the whole land of Egypt. We have read that in Genesis 41 verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That was the right time for him to get married. If David would wait until he was anointed king and get married, that his marriage will be successful and he would not need to have another woman. Why? The time for the marriage of Joseph was the right time because he was settled. We can put it for the following reason. First, he was in the position of authority. In verse 41, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger, put it in Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. So he's very clear that he is settled now. He's in a position. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. He was in the position of authority. Second, the circumstances that he was living in were stable and settled economically and politically. You know, we read that in verse 47 from the same chapter, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully, and Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. So here there is stability, economic and political stability over the whole land of Egypt. The whole country that he was living in was stable and prosperous. So Joseph was also blessed with all that, and his marriage happened in a prosperous time. Marriage that occur in God's perfect time are stable and fruitful marriage, as it happened in a prosperous period of time. The third reason why Joseph's marriage was in a perfect time, a settled time, and a prosperous marriage. Joseph had already passed through all trials and he overcome. Joseph was trained through the trials that he was passing through, and he overcome. And he overcome. He proved his maturity and his character and attitude was proved and nurtured and was also approved. You know, if you are passing and you are still passing through continuous hardship and trials in your life, then that is not the time for you to get married, because marriage will add more to your troubles. But when trials and troubles removed and you are given position of authority and prosperity is all around and well promised, then that is the time, the settlement time for you. When you are settled and well provided and there is a go signal from the Lord, then that will be the right time. And on that time there is a person for you to marry. Not like the offer of Saul to David. David knew very well that Saul was tracking him down. He should not be tempted and go for marriage at that time. But when you wait upon the Lord, there is a person for you to marry. You know, in Genesis 41 verse 45, Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephinath Paniah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Now this woman was an unbeliever. Now I am not giving this message to approve to you to marry an unbeliever, but what I am saying is this: when you are in the right place and in the settled circumstance of life, God has a suitable person for you to marry. The point number 5, why the marriage of Joseph was in a perfect time and the right time: plenty is needed to raise up godly children. Genesis 41 verse 49 to 50 say, Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph, you know, got his children at the time of plenty. You need resources and finances to spend on your family and children. People who marry in unsettled economic condition will bring troubles to their children. We need to be careful of that. Plenty is needed to raise up godly children. Point number six, God wanted Joseph to forget his suffering and his family household. In verse 51, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." Marriage is reward from God. If a person had overcome, Joseph overcame, he overcame the trials, and he passed through jail and succeeded. Therefore, he was rewarded, and God caused him to forget all his suffering. Marriage also becomes due when you finish your responsibility or accountability to your parents and family. If you are still burdened with your parents and your family, and if you are still supplying or supporting them, and if your family are still depending on you, then that is not yet the time for you to get married. If you are still in trouble because you are caring for your family, then your marriage will add more troubles to what you have. Point number seven, God wanted Joseph, and God also wants you to be fruitful. The second son, he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Marriage will bring the fruit in the form of a new disciple for Jesus. And your children are a new disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. The process of discipleship needs resources and need to be happening in a stable circumstances. Marriages after settlement make this process of discipleship to be effective and fruitful. Resources, maturity are needed to meet that need of discipleship. With this, we conclude this message. I pray and I trust God that this message will bring understanding and wisdom and humility for you, and to grasp that there is a good plan, and that good plan will be unfolded and come through only when those who hear the word of God put into practice. You need to wait. You need to be patient for him to come and bless you. Let's pray. Pray for yourself. Tell him, "Lord, I will wait. I will not do my own. I trust you that you have a good plan for me. Here I am, Lord, waiting. Come and bless me. I'm waiting for the right time for me to settle and get stable so that you will bless me with a wife, with a husband, and with the children." I pray, Lord, I pray for those who prayed from their heart and they are willing. Oh God, you bless them, oh Lord. You bless them beyond measure, and help them, Lord, to wait. Protect them from temptation. Give them self-control. Help them to surrender their will unto you. Oh God, I pray that the purpose of sending this message will accomplish and will bring the fruit, the harvest that you desire in the life of your church and your people. Take this message and make it reach to those who are in need of it, in need to hear your word, in need to hear the good plans that you have for them. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Christ's name, Amen and Amen.